This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Number two, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. You definitely want to stay tuned. Chris Canty is going to join us in the 2 o'clock hour. Now, Chris Canty was on the 2011 Giants Super Bowl winning team. They were honored at halftime yesterday at MetLife Stadium. You can only imagine what the mood was like in the building as the Giants were already getting blown out at that point.
Why the hell would you do that?
Remember, the same thing happened with Eli on Eli's day. They were getting smoked in that game, too. So
it's the dumbest
thing mood
ever.
Is not good right now in New York about the Giants. At least the Jets had
a bye week. Oh, so now it's because he made it through the ceremony. Now that he don't care about his key card no more.
What do you mean? Oh, is this what we want to do? Do you really want to know, before he even comes on and shares with us all the things that he saw?
No, I'm saying his key
card. Already set him up to maybe second guess wanting to give us some really good stuff.
No, he said it. Listen, what I'm saying is he kept his mouth shut. Remember, he was respectful.
Yes, last week he was being respectful.
Because he knew he was going to get honored.
Yes.
Now he's ready to let loose all the frustration. That's all I'm saying.
I hope so.
I don't understand. Listen, could you not have waited to – whoa, ooh, hold on, okay.
What ooh?
I'm trying to think like – why would you pick the Rams to try and sell it? That's like playing one of your hardest opponents.
Well, Bart, you also got to look at the weather. If you're going to do ceremonies, you want to do it early in the season where the weather's good.
Excuse me. Last I checked, these were football Giants. They are accustomed to New York weather. Like,
really?
They couldn't have waited till Sam Darnold came in town. Like,
yeah, how about
the 24?
How about Sam, by the way? What, like, that performer, so Carolina.
We brought him back.
He did bring him back, but that first half, if you're a Jets fan, watching Sam Darnold that first half made you go, yep, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's still there.
He's doing it without Christian McCaffrey, too, now.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't his fault that the punt got blocked, and it was his fault that his defense couldn't stop the run yesterday. Dalvin Cook ate him up for like 140.
Oh, sliced him.
Right? You let their defense that's supposed to be number one.
Can I ask how the Vikings are 3-3 when it feels like they always eke out wins? Like,
no, well, because they should have eked out the win against the Cardinals.
Yes.
And they should be 4-3.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They missed a 43-yard, a 37-yard field goal to win the game.
Dude never misses either. Yeah, I know. Incredible.
So Minnesota's one to watch, man.
Now, we will get to your calls in a moment here. We got a lot to discuss, but we do have, of course, one more game tonight. And this is a huge one for both teams, and I'll tell you why. It's Monday Night Football Preview, and it's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Here's why. Because it's Bills and Titans. The Bills have been really dominating everyone. They've outscored opponents 156-41 in the last 4 weeks.
I do have an L, though.
Okay, but they're still a dominating team that if they win this game, could you say just like the Cowboys in the NFC East, it's a wrap, right? When it comes to division, wrap. Get this one, you pretty much got the division. You can lock it up.
Yeah.
Anything can happen, of course, but we see where they're headed. The Titans kind of need this. And I understand that, the Colts still are trailing. The rest of the division we know is not good. But the Titans kind of need this win to just keep pace and make sure that the Colts don't have any ideas of trying to make a push and win this division. There's still a lot of time left for both of these teams. So Which would you say? Is this a bigger game for Tennessee? Is that, I guess, Captain Obvious?
Yeah, it's definitely a bigger game for Tennessee just because they want to keep pace, right? And they don't want to fall to 500, you know what I mean? They don't want to fall to 500, be 3-3. You want to try. Listen, this is a game that's interesting, right? Because styles make fights.
Mm-hmm.
And, Tannehill is a above-average quarterback. And you talk about King Henry. Now I know this
Buffalo against the run.
Yeah, this Buffalo. Yeah, this
That's
Buffalo.
Really what this is.
This Buffalo team is much improved, but they built their team to stop Mahomes, not to stop Josh Allen. And maybe they built their team for the wrong purpose.
Derrick Henry, you meant? Yeah.
Derrick Henry, right? So you look at it like if they drop that, it's really going to be important to see if AJ Brown is up because I know he has an illness. He's been listed as an illness, but if they can pump him up with enough
Tussin
and drips and vitamin drip IVs and
whatever
all that
it
stuff.
Takes, get them out there.
And if you get them out there, like it's interesting from a strategic standpoint because if you drop that eighth man in a box because you have to deal with King Henry, then now you got to deal with Julio Jones and AJ Brown on the back end, which is not what you want either. I know they have White, but outside of White, they don't have anybody that can handle Julio if he's the one that's going to get the one-on-one coverage. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting because you think about, the Titans, they're going to have to protect their defense because their defense isn't good. you know, with all the weapons that Josh Allen has.
Now, if the Titans are averaging, with King Henry, of course, 167.8 yards per game on the ground. That's the third most in the NFL. The Bills, their rush defense, very good, allowing just 78.4 rushing yards per game. That's the third fewest in the NFL. But you're going to look at the schedule and say,
Yeah, that's fool's gold.
You're going to do that again? Okay, well, but still, that's what this is. This is their running game versus a running defense. You know that's what tonight's matchup is going to be about.
Yeah, I try and tell people that's what, you know, numbers do lie sometimes. They don't tell the whole story. You have to keep it in context. You know, this team has got up on a lot of teams, and teams have abandoned the run. You went against the Steelers, who definitely had a run game week one. It went against the Chiefs, who don't even attempt to run the ball. So, I mean, you know, some of those are fluffed up numbers. You know, as you're starting to see, we're starting to get a true picture of what teams really are. We'll have a clear picture in the next 3 weeks, you know, and now you can start looking at the numbers.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Hey, the Jaguars get their first win.
Yo.
Urban Meyer gets his first win. I'll tell you what.
It's not even about the first win. It's about he actually won them a game.
How did he do that?
Well, he won them a game because Miami was saying, oh, guess what? They're going to try and take a Hail Mary. 5 seconds on the clock. He figured, hey, we can get a play to get us in field goal range. And they got it and they executed it the right way, the right time. 4 seconds, 1 second left. The slant route gives up time because the cornerbacks were playing off, expecting a Hail Mary.
Yep.
He gets it with 1 minute, 35-yard line. There you go, touchdown. That's a coach understanding situational football, knowing that you can get a playoff in 4 seconds. If it's a quick slant, he goes down, you call a timeout. So kudos to Urban Meyer because he won them that game because of his decision-making.
And that's a part, obviously, that you needed to get from him after all that they've been through and all he's been through so far. And I found this interesting. Matthew Wright, 40-yard kick in the first quarter of that game. That was in London. It was the first made field goal for Jacksonville this season. Didn't that blow your mind?
That's crazy.
The first time they made a field goal. They're the only team entering week six without a made field goal. And this has been the season of kickers, good and bad.
Yeah.
So he then became the first kicker since 91 to make multiple field goals in this game after going all season without making one. The first since 1991, Bart Scott. You were what, 10?
Yeah, I was 10.
Since multiple field goals of 50-plus yards in the last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter in the same game.
Well, at least his leg was rested.
But still, that's how they get it done. I've got a bunch of these. You want some more? Want some more facts?
Sure, give me some facts.
I love this. This was fun. I went through some of this stuff and this is really the week six. Let's go through it. We haven't talked a lot about the Chiefs, and they played Washington, and early on it looked ugly. Thought, what's going on with Mahomes? This is not right. Another two picks. What's going on with this team? What's going on with him? And is the magic starting to go away? Then the magic came back, and in that second half it turned into a blowout. Kansas City, now the sixth team in Super Bowl era to not have a winning record. So they're 3-3. To not have a winning record despite averaging 30 or more points per game in their first six games of the season. Now, here's why it's important. Because only one of the last five teams to do this have made the playoffs. That'd be the Patriots in 2012.
Yeah.
So are the Chiefs one of those teams you're wondering could be on the bubble of making the playoffs despite getting this win?
I mean, they got a gauntlet, man. Like, I understand they should be able to handle the Broncos, but you think about the Chargers, they've already beaten them. You know, the Raiders always seem to go into Arrowhead and feel comfortable and winning there. And, you know, they talk about a team that played inspired. Yeah. You know, that's a team that played inspired and seemed like they're going to be just fine. They, you know, they used the distractions of last week and it brought them closer together because they went in there and put a beat down to Teddy Two Gloves.
Yes. We'll discuss that, of course, as well. How about we mentioned also Chicago losing to Aaron Rodgers and the Pack. Chicago, I love this. This is Aaron Rodgers has 469 career passing touchdowns since he entered the league in 2005, right? 469 career passing touchdowns. Chicago
100.
Has 463 passing touchdowns, which includes the playoffs since Justin Fields was born in 1999. So Aaron Rodgers has more career passing touchdowns since 2005 when he entered the league. And remember, he didn't play in the very beginning.
Well, they had Lovie Smith.
That Chicago has. It's just amazing.
That was ground and pound. Right?
And as we mentioned, of course, he did tell the fans there, you know, I own you. And we told you his record, 22-5 against them. So he feels like he does have full ownership of the Bears. And after the game, he talked about his comments.
Sometimes you black out on the field in a good way. I definitely blacked out from a concussion, which isn't a good way. But I looked up in the stands, and in the front row, all I saw was a woman giving me the double bird. So I'm not sure exactly what came out of my mouth next.
So you go, like, you talk about going full Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, he went.
I think he might have went full Tropic Thunder at that point, right?
I mean, because he kept saying it.
Yes,
he kept saying it.
Several times.
I own you.
Yes,
I own you.
Here's another one for you. Kyler Murray, the first Cardinals quarterback since 1950. 1950, with 100+ passer rating in five of the team's first six games of a season. And he's become a video game, hasn't he? I mean, it's an offense that no Cliff Kingsbury there, no play caller, but do you need it? If you know the offense that well, like Dak looks like he knows it fluently, like it's a language and he can speak it fluently, right?
Yeah.
So the great quarterbacks can do that with their offense. Kyler Murray looks like that guy that just knows his offense. And people say,
but he's doing his offense since college.
That's a
great
point.
When he came in last year, he was teaching Larry Fitzgerald the options off the routes and in the audibles. So it's like he knows his offense just as well as Kingsbury because he's been in it for so long. So this is common ground for him. So he's not a rookie within this. This isn't his second year. He knows his offense all probably better than anybody on the football field.
Yeah, and again, people say, well, it's a lot of off script. It is, but you also have to know what's going on out there to be able to figure all that stuff out. Speaking of which, again, Lamar Jackson. Here's another one. I love this number too. So he hasn't turned 25 years old yet, Bart.
I know.
He has surpassed Dan Marino for most wins by a starting quarterback, 34.
35. Now.
Before, 34 was the record. He has 35 now. Most wins by a starting quarterback before their 25th birthday in NFL history. So a young quarterback. Talk about a young quarterback that all he does is win no matter what.
And he's throwing to something different this year. I think when you look at Lamar Jackson, it's no question you're going to give him just as much money as Josh Allen. Where Baker Mayfield, you're like, yeah. Like, listen, we'll give you some money, but we need a friendly discount because we got to put good things around you. Lamar Jackson, no running backs, no problem. Mm. No left tackle.
They'll have to work on that deal.
No receivers, no problem.
But he's proving to you that whatever Mahomes got, you better pile that on for him too because he is so valuable to that franchise. And John Harbaugh talked about the record that I just mentioned.
Oh, that's the biggest one. Have people heard of that one? I know they said they hadn't heard about all these records, but they had heard about that one, right? Yeah, that's the biggest one. That's the one that we're most – I promise that's the one Lamar's most proud of, and that's the one we're all most proud of, absolutely.
When you think about it, again, all he's accomplished for a guy that some people thought wasn't going to be a quarterback in the NFL. All right, I got one more game for you to give you, and then we'll get back to the calls. So this is from the Patriots-Cowboys game, which was a really entertaining game with a fun ending. But here's one. The Cowboys have defeated the Patriots for the first time since Week 16 – in 1996. I mean, can you believe that?
Who the hell was the quarterback?
How about
Troy
the – can you name – of course it was Troy Aikman. Can you name the coach?
Oh, Barry Switzer.
Yeah. Who was the coach of the Patriots?
Pete Carroll.
No.
Pete Carroll wasn't the
Bill
coach?
Bill Parcells.
Ah, Tuna.
Can you imagine it goes back that far?
Yeah, I thought Pete
they have. I mean, I know they don't play them a lot, but still, like, that's mind-boggling. But now, with that in mind, the Patriots.
The last time the Jets lost to the
Patriots
Cowboys.
and all their success that they have had. Now we look at where they are right now. Foxborough used to be that place, the House of Horrors, right? You go up there, something always goes wrong, something weird happens. It's always talked about, right? And it's Bill Belichick in his building and that fan base. The Patriots now lost four home games, all four of them. They have not done that since 1993.
Fire the coach.
Yeah, right. What do you think of that? I mean, just, again, where they are right now.
Listen, man, listen.
Would you say this is a typical reset that they're going through?
It's like being tough when your big brother's there and everybody like, oh, man, you like you hit him back, I'm gonna jump in. And they, you know, he's like, all right, man. But now big brother's gone. That you know, Tom Brady's not there.
So the aura wasn't as much Bill as it was Tom Brady. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, Bill always comes up with tremendous game plans. But it was Brady who was kicking your ass. It was Brady that was making the right plays. It was Brady that kind of figured out what you were doing in the first half and just destroyed you in the second half.
Mac Jones got you to overtime.
Yeah.
That did get you to overtime.
I mean, that's, you know, listen, it should have never been that close. I mean, you talk about going for it on fourth down. You talk about not coming up on fourth down like three times.
What'd you think of the CD like, Lamb, that touchdown, though? I mean, that play there, is that a, I mean.
The touchdown, the one that ended it?
Yeah, the throw was amazing. Yeah,
absolutely. Throw it off platform, mm-hmm. You know, caught the guys, you know, CD
right
Lamb.
Right on the pylon.
CD, listen.
And then CD gives you the bye-bye.
But the thing is, old boy pushed him. And remember, we talked about that with Faneca last week, how guys cross the goal line, then they take these unnecessary shots. Like, the dude, like, he scored, put it up, and he got mad because he put it up, and he pushed him after the play.
Yes.
Like, game's over. They can't take the victory back. I would have took that football and threw it so hard at his face and hit him right in the game, a concussion. Ding! Like, you can't push me after that. I scored, bro. What are you still tackling me for?
All right, so that's some notes from around the league. It's Bart and Hahn coming to you live from Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Let's get back to the phone lines at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Let's see. I know we've got – oh, you know what? Sam is in Texas. Go ahead, Sam.
Gentlemen.
What's up?
Hello, hello. Hey, I just – Alan, I've got something for you and me that we're going to do for Bart. Do you think that if we painted all of the Cowboys in purple and put a raven on there, do you think that we would get the final Bart blessing? Because the Cowboys are just – awesome. I mean, they're awesome. They're awesome all around. We can beat you on any side of the ball. And Trayvon Diggs, as y'all know, I can't stop calling
six
about
straight
him.
Games
he's
with a pick.
He's freaking amazing.
Yeah, but did you see the other stat that they had about Trayvon Diggs? Trayvon Diggs has more interceptions than anybody, but he's also given up more yards to receivers than anybody too. So he's the classic.
I mean, I guess,
right now
he
is the classic Delta O'Neal right now. He's boom or bust. He's all or nothing. Delta O'Neal was classic for having 10 interceptions, but he'll give up 10 bombs.
But Sam, it's all right.
Paint him purple.
Sam knows what's coming.
But this is the whole thing, though. I told you me and Keanu O'Neal had the same agent. I told them that the defense would be a lot better, that it's the easiest thing to fix is defense. It's more about just effort and being in the right position and playing hard.
I think
they're playing hard, but they're still not a good defense. They're just being able to get away with a lot of sins. They gave up 29 points to a team and Mac Jones, who haven't been able to put more than 20 up for a long time this season. But they would put him up against the Cowboys. That's a testament to how bad this defense or how average this defense is.
Okay. Well, on top of that, of course, again, it's a matter of the Cowboys right now are a really good regular season team. But the concern is not about their talent. It's about whether or not the head coach will make some decisions with the clock and timing and everything else, decisions that he made in this game that despite of – they ended up winning the game, and I think if you're a Cowboys fan, that has to be the one thing that does concern you. John is in Massachusetts. John?
Hey, what's going on, guys, man? First time, long time, man. Real big fans of you guys. But,
Thank you.
Man, to get back to your point, Bart, man, keep giving it to the Pats, man, because I'm a transplant. I've been up here in Massachusetts like 10 years, man, and I moved here right when the Giants won in 2011. The amount they get so many participation trophies for everything up here, man. I had a dude telling me the other day that Hogan was a bomb receiver when they had him up here.
24/7.
I don't want nobody getting. I mean, you're a defensive player, boss, so you know what's up, man. That was a blown coverage, and yes, Diggs was super aggressive on that, trying to eat again, trying to get another pick six. I get it. You know, he got his back turned to the plate. But that safety, too, when he looked at that safety, he let up.
Bad angle.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
They get so much props for 70 for a 75-yard bomb on the blown coverage, and I'm getting text, oh, you see?
Oh, Mac and Cheese.
They treat us Giants fans up here like second-class citizens, I tell you, man.
It's okay.
You like a lot of references, Bart, man. You do a lot of references. Think of that Kevin Hart reference with his dad. When his dad got smacked up and he's like, you had enough?
Uh-huh.
That's how they treat us out here.
You take the trash off while I tell Steve to come out here and kick your ass again.
Right, exactly. That's how I feel all the time. I can't even go to the supermarket rocking a Giants jersey. Now
John, I got to be honest. You don't want to be wearing a Giants jersey anywhere right now with the way they look.
Listen, man, I bleed that blue. I take my lumps,
you
man.
Should.
I'm a Yankee fan, too, that rooted for Steve Balboni, man. So I got it hard.
but listen,
Danny Tartable, baby. Danny Tartable, I'm with you.
Listen, right, baby. Danny Tartable, man. I really thought we had somebody back then. You know?
Listen, it's okay,
you,
right? Listen,
thank
Patriots
you,
fans are starting to realize what every other team within this division has had to realize. It is hard to replace a legend.
Life after the legend, yes. And we talked to Jim
like
Kelly about
vortex.
That. But we talked to Jim Kelly about it last week, about how long it took for the Bills. They finally got their guy. And now how long will
JP
it be for the Patriots?
JP Lossman, EJ Manuel.
And the list goes on and on. All right, so we continue with your calls, of course, on that. But coming up next, it's not often we see a head coach publicly call out his starting quarterback. But we got that yesterday. Who is it and what was said about him? You'll hear that next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Little bus, so what?
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program. Now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. All right, Bart Scott, we have talked to the fans. We have talked to the listeners. We have talked to the callers who want to take you on. We have said all we could say as well. But right now, it's time to hear from those who are making the headlines. And what do we call that segment?
Already?
Already. Audio. Bow. Oh, we begin. Let's begin where you began.
Huh.
In Detroit. Where, remember Dan Campbell was.
Sunshine of Roses last week.
All tears and emotion.
Yeah.
And we're going to get one. We're going to get one. And you said, this might be the week. You know, this might be the week. And I said, nah. In fact, I'm taking Cincinnati.
Way to remind everybody what I said.
And I made some money. But then you know why, though? Because here's what we were all wondering what would happen. They make the big trade between the Rams and the Lions, and you trade Matthew Stafford. You get him out of Shawshank.
Mm-hmm.
And Jared Goff, who clearly he and Sean McVay were no longer seeing eye to eye. And that's not a knock on Sean McVay's stature. I just mean they literally weren't seeing eye to eye. So with that in mind, you want to see, will Jared Goff now go back to being a guy who had number one pick and a guy who took a team to a Super Bowl? Can he do with the Lions what Matthew Stafford couldn't do? And 6 weeks into the season, Dan Campbell sounding a lot like McVay after this loss where Jared Goff had 202 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception in this loss. And in the first half, I think it was like 38 yards total. Dan Campbell needs more.
I will say this. I don't feel like we can accurately judge him one way or another. I don't feel that way yet. Now, I will say this. I feel like he needs to step up more than he has. And I think he needs to help us, you know, just like everybody else. And I think he's gonna need to put a little bit of weight on his shoulders here, and it's time to step up, make some throws, and do some things. But he needs help. He needs help.
Okay, so he needs help, but they're calling out the biggest name, the highest paid player on the roster. Is this the right thing for Dan Campbell to do, and what kind of response do you expect?
I mean,
remember, it's not the first time he's been called out because yeah, McVay has done it too.
But this is early, right? And this is the thing. Like, where's the help going to come from? Right, he loses his starting center. Sewell's been hurt. They don't have any of their starting cornerbacks. It's a law of diminishing returns. Like, I don't know what more you expect him to do, what more he can do. He's not a very good quarterback, and now his saving grace was that this was a fresh start, and five games into his fresh start, he's been called out again. Hope he doesn't go into a dark place, man. I tell you what, Detroit is the wrong place to be depressed. A lot of fattening food there. You know, all you got to do is ask Matt Patricia, who put on a whole baby in like 2 weeks. You talk about chili cheese fries, going to Lou's Deli. You get some tremendous Greek food there. Like,
yeah,
he can go into a dark place, man.
Yeah, it is definitely not something. It's not a good situation. We knew it from the time of the trade, but to get called out, I guess that's the question. Is this really the right thing? And Dan Campbell felt like it was the right thing. All right. I am looking on my page, guys, for the next one. I don't have it on my page, so I might need to throw it to you guys to play it. So hopefully we have it. Just can somebody tell me if we do have it at least there, because I don't have it here. Urban Meyer. Clifford, do we have it? Okay. All right. So then I'll move on from this one. I'll go to the next one instead, and we'll wait for this one. And this is involving college, but it's an NFL connection to it. Ed Orgeron won a championship at LSU, but since then, LSU has not really.
He won a championship 2 years ago.
Yes, it was 2 years ago. And then you have the COVID season.
Joe Burrow.
But there have been whispers about how he was not long for the job for myriad reasons. They have not been successful, and the reports.
Saying they just had a run. They just had a run in them.
Okay, and the reports are now, of course, that Ed Orgeron will probably be out at LSU, and it doesn't come to, I think, like I said, anybody that's an insider, not a great surprise there, but Joe Burrow, who won that championship with him 2 years ago, as you said, he's not happy about it.
You know, that's disappointing to me because he's really a man that, you know, gave me an opportunity when nobody else really was. I wouldn't be here without Coach O, and you know, I'm forever indebted to him as a person and as a player, and you know, our relationship will continue for the rest of our lives. I love the man. I love the coach. You know, they haven't been winning as many games as I know they would like, but you know, we did just win a national championship 2 years ago, so you know, that's disappointing. I love Coach O and everyone over there, so you know, I hope he's able to find a place where you know he feels like he's welcomed.
Burrow famously with the cigar in hand when they won that championship.
He was 26.
He and Jamar Chase.
He's older than Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's been in the league 5 years.
Yeah, so again, at LSU, not happy with the results since winning that championship. All right, Audio Files continues, brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. So, Jacksonville, as I mentioned before, they get their first win of the season. Urban Meyer gets his first win as an NFL coach. But it's been a while for the Jaguars. 20 straight games. They snapped the losing streak. It was the second longest losing streak in NFL history. Of course, you remember the creamsicle Buccaneers of the 70s had lost 26 straight. So here's Urban Meyer on the win.
Someone asked me last week if we're desperate for a win. We are desperate for a win, and we came close a few times. And there was a lot of things to fix, but you saw a young quarterback make a big-time play at the biggest time of the game. And then a young kicker that we just signed a couple weeks ago popped 250-plus yarders, so it was a great win.
And with the kicker we told you about, Michael Wright, it was the first field goal that they made all season. He kicked that 40-yarder in the first quarter. This game, by the way, was in London. And then the 250-plus yarders to win the game in the fourth quarter. Haven't seen anything like that in a very long time. So he gets the win. But on the flip side of this, though, Bart Scott, it's the Miami Dolphins.
Barbecue chicken.
A team that you really had some expectations about this year. You thought their defense would be good. They have a lot of weapons in Tua. Tagovailoa, 33 of 47, 329 passing yards, two passing touchdowns, a pick.
He played a lot worse than those numbers. Sean.
But the numbers look good, but everyone, you know, there's a lot of people now wondering if the Dolphins really need to start thinking hard about going elsewhere for a quarterback.
They've been thinking about it. They tried to pull it off.
They were trying to give him this year to do it.
And what I wanted to talk to
straight L's, by the way.
What I wanted to talk to Tannenbaum about was what team tries to be aggressive first, Philadelphia or Miami?
I mean, for the funny, two Alabama quarterbacks and both of them.
For Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you can hurry up, if you let Deshaun Watson get to the open market, it's still not any other teams that can give the type of compensation that Miami and Philly can give next year. Yeah, they can give you their next three first-round draft picks for the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But if both of these teams aren't playing well, they're giving you good picks, right? And I believe that the pick in Philly is Miami's pick. So Philadelphia can give you their pick that won't be good. They can give you Miami's pick that won't be good. And guess what? They have the Colts pick. If the Colts don't play well, you could mess around and they can trade three top 15 picks in one draft.
Yeah.
Ask yourself that.
It's November was 2nd, right? It's the trade deadline. And Deshaun Watson, we've stopped talking about him. Houston stopped talking about him. The whole league publicly has stopped talking about him. But you wonder if behind the scenes people are still talking about him.
Because that
story has gotten real quiet after a real noisy offseason for him.
Because a team like the Denver Broncos can't give up the first-round draft picks. They can give one up.
Yeah.
But, man, they got a host of players that can improve your football team that year. Mm-hmm. They can get you Sutton. They can get you Simmons. They got three great corners. They can get you Von Miller. They can get you whatever you want.
If you're Miami, do you hold out and see if Aaron Rodgers becomes available on the open market?
Yeah, I mean, listen, whatever team don't get Deshaun Watson.
Like, you wait to the end of the season.
Whatever team may not get Deshaun Watson, especially if his legal problems are over.
Well, the
consolation prize is
Aaron
Rodgers.
But you
can't
just say that dismissively. I mean, Deshaun Watson's issues are serious issues.
No risky, no bisky. Mm-hmm. Now, you're going to put some type of plan in there in case he's charged and, you know.
Yeah, but you're
you'd be giving up
so much for somebody that might not be available to you, and then on top of the controversy of bringing him in.
None of those charges are criminal charges, bro.
But
it's kind of detrimental. The worst he may get out of that is 6 games. What are you talking about? This is first offense. Mm. So none of those offenses give him jail time, make him a criminal.
Doesn't make it right, though.
It doesn't make it right. But listen, we've seen it. It wasn't right when Michael Vick got out, right? He served his time, and he got an opportunity.
Well, but
Deshaun Watson will get another opportunity.
Well, but again, Michael Vick did have to pay a price. All Deshaun Watson's doing is sitting out. He's not being suspended. He's just sitting out. He doesn't want to play, and they don't want to play him.
Well, when he gets suspended, he'll lose a couple of $1 million.
Yeah.
Big Ben, same thing.
How big of a story is this, though? Like, the fact that we're not talking about he's not playing, he's being paid not to play, and also going through all this stuff. It's a top 5 quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there for a whole year.
Yeah.
And you're waiting to see what team will make that move to bring him in if that's what they want to do. All right, that's audio files. So there's a team we were just talking about. Joe Burrow not happy about what happened with his college team. But what's going on with his NFL team is something that we feel like is flying under the radar. And we will discuss more about their potential coming up next. And, of course, your calls as well. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back. Barton Hahn, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. Bart Scott, the NBA season officially opens tomorrow night.
Yes.
Now, Wednesday night, we'll have all the coverage
on ESPN. Your Knickerbockers.
That's right. The Knicks and the
Celtics.
And
the Suns.
That's Wednesday night. But tomorrow, we have Nets and the Bucks. So there's your rematch right there of all rematches.
It's not the real rematch, man. No, both teams aren't all complete.
Why aren't they all complete?
No Kyrie.
Well, that's one team, yes. And the Bucks just coming off their championship now going up against the team that everybody believes is the favorite to win the championship. Which, by the way, if you're the defending champions and you return your roster and you're not the favorite to win the championship, it's a bit disrespectful, don't you think?
No, you lucked out. We all know what happened. Everything went in your favor. And listen, you don't apologize for that.
No.
You know, James Harden hamstring. Right, you don't talk about that stuff. It just you take your championship, and people will argue it, but at the end of the day, they can't take it back. So I wonder for you, Mr. Allen Hahn, Mr. AKA Dunk every year on my birthday, Mr. Jordan Threes Curse.
I'm gonna get him. I'm gonna get him, Bart. I'm gonna get him.
I'm gonna ask you
what
if they are the favorite, and the Nets are the favorite. Who do you have as your top 5? NBA teams going into the season, who should we be looking out for? Who's a dark horse and who's the favorite? In Allen Hahn's opinion, because nobody else's opinion matters to me. Not Stephen A.
Careful.
I don't care. Not Steve. Listen, you my partner.
That opinion.
Not Jay Weezy.
Well, all right, I'll tell you.
You!
All right. Well, I mean, it's the obvious is the Nets, even without Kyrie Irving playing this year, which I still think they'll work that out, and eventually he'll return to the team at some point. The Nets are the favorite because of just how much depth they have and, of course, their talent. The Lakers, I'd have to put it too, although They don't look good in the preseason, but you just figure with all those guys and all those veterans.
Are they learning how to get? Are they learning how to get the Ricochets of Westbrook?
Yeah, right. They'll be, their rebounding numbers will be up this year.
Let me ask you this: who shoots better, Draymond? Who do you trust with the shot for the game, Draymond or Brody?
Russ when the game's on the line because Russ is a gamer. Okay. Like that's why. The third team then would be the Bucks. Even though it's just disrespectful to put them third, I really should put them second. But the Lakers, with just because they have LeBron and that mission with all those older guys, you just figure they're just going for it. Then it gets interesting because there could be a lot of teams now you could put at 4 and 5. But I'm going to go with two West teams. And no, they're not the Warriors. I'll explain why. The Utah Jazz.
Two West teams.
Yeah. But the West is always going to be better. The Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns. Those are my top five.
How dare you.
And here's why. The Utah Jazz returned their roster. And they were the best team in the West. The Phoenix Suns returned their roster, and they got to the NBA Finals. They were the best team in the West, right? And if you're doing that, you're coming back in a full season. They're fairly young. They should be in your top five. Why not the Warriors? Because the Warriors have to prove to me that they're healthy. Because we've learned you lose one guy, and they fall. They become very mediocre. And I know they've got Steph Curry, and he's healthy. Of course, Klay Thompson, what does he look like coming off of 2 years without playing? That's why I put them. And then the Denver Nuggets, they also have to be in this conversation because they have the MVP, and they have a really good roster. What am I disrespecting?
You know who's healthy?
Who?
Jimmy Buckets. They don't have COVID outbreaks. That's what really set them back last year was the COVID outbreaks.
Yep.
They add Mike Lowry.
Where do they play?
They add Mike Lowry
or Kyle Lowry.
You talk about
where
a team defensively in Miami.
Yes.
South Beach.
Yes.
But listen, this is a team, a proud franchise with a great coach, a great leader in Pat Riley.
My list. I gave you my list. That's my top five. Welcome back. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Candy's going to join us in 12 minutes, and he was there at MetLife to see that giant mess, all puns intended, and you got to get his take on what he saw there and what was said as the Super Bowl team from 2011 was brought in, a little reunion for the fans, and 10th anniversary, this is what they give them. So I imagine what that was like in person. But, Bart, before we grab more calls and get back to the conversation with the fans on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, let's go back to something, though, that you said about the Bengals. Here they are now after – I mean, and again, they certainly didn't have a tough go this weekend against the Lions, but they still – they're at 4-2. And you said you really like what you see out of Joe Burrow. I mean, they're under the radar right now. But do they look like a team that not only can make the playoffs this year, but might be a team with Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase that you've got to worry about number of years?
The Bengals are back. And listen, they're only going to continue to get better. Draft capital. They have three of the top skill position players, and they play well together. You talk about Mixon and what he does from running the football, mm-hmm. also from catching the football. And then you ask, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. They are deep.
Weapons.
Deep as far as weapons. And they got a guy who can get them the football and a guy that is a show enough winner and leader. And, Trey Henderson is playing well. Like, Carl Lawson, they had him there. They let him walk. They bring in Trey Henderson, who led the league in sacks last year, what people don't realize, 16 for the Saints. So defensively, this is a different football team as well. I mean, this is a good, young, hungry football team, and they're only going to get better because now, much like Buffalo – I think players are going to say, you know what? Cincinnati's not that bad of a place to live. I'll go to Cincinnati. If Buffalo can pull people there with that weather and, Willis McGahee said, one Applebee's, all they got in town. And he said the women was ugly. This is Willis McGahee, not me. Don't at me, at Willis McGahee. Famously said that. Cincinnati got a little bit more to offer. Dave Chappelle lives around town.
It's been a while for them, but they certainly look like they've got the pieces to be a team that is formidable for years to come. Meanwhile, huge news all week was involving the Raiders and John Gruden resigning after all that controversy through the emails and the stupid things that he had to say. So they go play the Broncos, which was a team that started 3-0, and we wanted to see if we could believe in them and Vic Fangio and his defense, and we saw the Raiders go in and get 34-24 win over the Broncos to set a little bit of a tone there about where their season's going without their head coach. And it looks like it's going to, it looked like a team that wasn't ready to throw in the towel. Anthony in New York wants to talk about this. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, Alan. Hey, Bart. Thanks for having me on. The proof is in the pudding. Finally, Gruden is gone. We got rid of the cancer. 20 years ago, I was at the Raider New England game with my good friend Mike, and we sat in that blizzard with 12:31 on the clock in the fourth quarter. The Raiders are winning 13-3. You're an L.A.-based team playing in New England. In those elements, you're up by 10. And you have Tyrone Wheatley and Charlie Garner in your backfield. Why not run the ball three times? What does Gruden do with 12:31 on the clock? Pass first down, incomplete. Pass second down, incomplete. Pass third down, incomplete. The clock went from 12:31 to 12:13, killed 18 seconds. Guys, this is 20 years ago. I remember as it was yesterday. Last week, I'm watching the game in my house, cursing at the TV with my wife saying, please fire this guy. We sacrificed the Bears game. I don't mind losing to the Chargers, but we sacrificed the Bears game and we got rid of the cancer. Gruden is gone. He's got a big mouth. All it did was get him in trouble, finally. I've been a Raider fan since 1970, okay? I've been to the game where Bo Jackson got hurt. I've been to the last two Super Bowls. I've been to all the big games, okay? And finally, that's it. I'm happy. He's gone. He is gone. Either keep Passaccia or our coach. You got Gus Bradley. You got Eric Bieniemy out there. Make one of these guys your coach. But I'm glad Passaccia, a New York raised guy.
Thank you, Anthony. We got to run. But Passaccia certainly at 61 years old is getting his opportunity. And if he's the interim coach, he'll take it to the end of this season. We'll see what the Raiders can make of this season. But the Giants, they are in big trouble after another blowout loss, an embarrassing one. And our own Chris Caney was there to witness it, and he will discuss with us next. We are continuing with your calls, of course, at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. As we say goodbye to ESPN+, we'll see you next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.